Too much noise? This is your one-stop playbook for real MSP growth. No nonsense, just all the stuff that works.
All right, you are here, and that means it's time to start the show. Here's what I got coming up for you today. The best AI marketing and productivity tools used by MSPs right now. Why your MSP doesn't stand out and how to fix that. And my special guest reveals the exact marketing that successful MSPs implement. Welcome to episode 306.
Powered by MSPMarketingEdge.com. Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
It's one thing being overwhelmed by your business and not having enough time to find new clients for your MSP, but it's another thing being overwhelmed with the choices of AI tools that are supposed to save you time and reduce overwhelm in the first place. Have you found the options and variations of AI tools so completely bamboozling? Well, if so, you're not on your own. And if you want to be more productive, do better marketing, and ultimately grow your MSP, here are five AI tools that you should be using right now. And let's be honest, there is a lot of noise about AI, and a lot of it is hype. I follow a lot of AI newsletters very carefully to keep up to date with what's happening, which of course is a never-ending and somewhat overwhelming task in itself. Now, while there is a lot of talk of people trying to do amazing things, often when you dive into the amazing things that all of these new tools should be able to do, they just don't work that way. Well, they kind of work that way, but they're never really good enough for you to rely on them. Yet, saying that, there are some very real and very useful tools that MSPs are already using to save time, create better marketing, and just get more done. So let me give you a short list of what I think are the best AI tools you should know about right now. And let's start with the most obvious one, ChatGPT, or Copilot, or Perplexity, or whatever your preferred tool is. And yeah, I know, it's obvious, but hear me out. Because the trick with getting the best output from your general AI tool is giving it good input. So let's look at content creation, for example. The worst thing you could do is just say, hey, ChatGPT, write me a blog post about backups. Because it's just going to generate boring AI slop that isn't going to bring any benefit to your MSP. So a better way to use it is to shape content that you're already getting from trusted content providers and get the AI tool to customize it to your specific audience. So let me give you an example. We create tons of content for our MSP Marketing Edge members. And increasingly, a number of them are using AI tools to tailor that content to their specific audience. So for example, some have created custom GPTs, which are then trained on their ICP. Sorry to use two acronyms in a row there, but as you might already know, an ICP is an ideal client profile. So they've essentially taught the AI exactly what their ideal client looks like, and then they put our content into that custom GPT. And the AI tweaks and adjusts the content so it's completely relevant to the ideal client. And you do this because relevance increases results. Can you see the power of doing that? You're taking very well-written content that's been put together by humans, and then you're optimizing it for the very specific audience that you want to reach. The other big thing that I found recently with ChatGPT, especially, is that just giving it a prompt and expecting it to do a great job is rarely the answer. Instead, you've kind of got to challenge it to do something, give it a mission, perhaps get it to interview you, make it a two-way street. If you use ChatGPT like an assistant that you're having a discussion with, rather than a contractor you're just giving a very short brief to and expecting it to get on, that's where you get the best results. Two-way conversations. My suggestion number two is Opus Clip. If you're making any video content, even just filming yourself giving tech tips, then this tool is magic. You upload one long video and Opus Clip automatically chops it into short clips with captions, jump cuts, and highlights. It's perfect for LinkedIn or YouTube Shorts. And I've seen a few MSPs use this to turn kind of like a 5 to 10 minute video into a whole month of content. Suggestion number three is Descript. And this is a game changer for editing audio and video, because instead of fiddling around with timelines, you edit the transcript like a Word document, and then Descript cuts the video to match. And you can remove filler words like or mmm. It does all of that automatically. It even has a voice cloning feature, so if you say something wrong and you want to fix it without re-recording, it just kind of makes up your voice for you. Very clever. Number four, fireflies.ai or Fathom or one of the other AI meeting assistants. And as you probably know, they jump on your Zoom or Teams calls, they take notes, and then they summarize the key action points. And MSPs are using them for client meetings, initial discovery calls, and even internal strategy sessions, because you get searchable transcripts. So if someone says, can we talk about cyber insurance again next quarter? It's right there. And some of them will pull out those action points as well. What's funny these days is when you join a Zoom or Teams call with lots of people, you get almost as many note takers as you do actual humans joining the call. But like I was saying earlier about ChatGPT, just using something to automatically record and transcribe and summarize every meeting has little real value to you, because when do you ever read back those summaries? You don't, because you were in the meeting, right? But they can be great if you take those summaries and you use them as an aide memoir in the future. Anything that stops you having to go back and ask someone, what was it we were talking about, just saves everyone time, which is great. And I find it quite useful to take those summaries and put them into another AI like ChatGPT and ask it to pull out the actions that you should have been doing or to summarize something that you might have missed. I know it's kind of weird to use two AIs together, but sometimes one AI will spot something the other AI hasn't. And then suggestion number five, let me tell you about a productivity tool I've been using that has completely changed the way I work. It's called Whisper Flow, and it's spelled W-I-S-P-R Flow, Whisper Flow, if you like. Now, this is a dictation tool, but you use the same tool across all of your devices, and it learns about you and how you talk and what you like and what your preferences are over time. Now, I was kind of dubious when I started their free 2-week trial, because I use dictation on my Mac and on my iPhone all the time, and that's been a big part of how I work for a couple of years. So why did I need another dictation tool? But actually, Whisper Flow is very smart. It adapts to the platform that it's being used in. So, for example, it'll be a lot less formal in a WhatsApp or an SMS conversation than it would in an email or if you're writing a LinkedIn post. It also handles all of the formatting and the kind of the presentation of the content for you. The real power of Whisper Flow is you just talk to it naturally rather than the stilted conversation that you have with normal dictation tools. So like when I'm just dictating something on my iPhone, I'm saying something like, and I will get back to you, open bracket, when I can, close bracket, full stop, smiley emoji. And it's not a natural flow. When I'm using Whisper Flow, I can just say, right, so I'll get back to you when I'm ready. And if there's anything else that I can help with, will you just let me know? Thanks, Paul. And it automatically arranges it into sentences and leaves gaps and puts emojis in and all of that kind of stuff, because it's learned I like emojis in my text. I mean, even just something like leaving a pause as I'm thinking about something, it acknowledges that that's the end of a paragraph and it starts a new paragraph. Or it can sometimes go back if I change my mind about something. So if I say, can you get back to me about the cheese? Oh, sorry, the cheese and the beef and the ham. Then all I see in the text is, can you get back to me about the cheese and the beef and the ham? Whereas most other tools that you use like this, you end up seeing cheese, beef and ham. Does that make sense? It will also pick up the way that you spell certain words and you can program certain things in. So if I go in and edit some text that it's just dictated for me, just transcribed for me, then if I've changed the spelling, it will automatically add that to the dictionary and use that spelling again in the future. And I can tell it things right from the get-go. For example, I have a colleague called Amy, but she spells it with an I on the end, not a Y on the end. And I say the word Amy quite a lot as I'm dictating messages to her. So I only had to tell it once that it's Amy with an I, and now it gets it right every single time on all of my devices. That's the point. You do this on one device and it automatically updates on all of your devices. It's very good. I remember a few years back when I discovered a tool called Text Expander. That's not an AI tool, but it was a tool that completely changed my productivity, because instead of having to copy and paste repeat text, I just set up all the things I often type with short codes, and I still use that today. Well, Text Expander and Whisper Flow together has had a similarly huge effect on me, and I find myself using Whisper Flow every single day, not just for work, but for personal stuff too. So tell me, which AI tools would you recommend to me right now?
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
Surely, one of the truisms of life is that if you want to achieve something, such as growing your MSP, the easiest way to do that is to ask someone who's already done it. And that's why I'm delighted to introduce you to my special guest today. She's been marketing MSPs her entire career and is going to share with us what successful MSPs do. She'll be here on the show in the next few minutes. It's as simple as this. There are thousands of MSPs they could choose from, so why would they choose you? Most MSPs simply cannot answer this question, and yet it's the most important marketing question to answer. What's your USP? What's the reason you stand out? Figuring out the answer to this isn't easy. So let me share a couple of good ideas with you, see if I can give you some inspiration. So I've got this friend, let's call her Debbie, and she's not in our world, she works in a different sector. And sadly, she was just made redundant a few months ago, which is not fun, especially after nearly a decade in the same business. It's kind of left her at a crossroads. She was already thinking of changing careers, but of course, we like to be in control of when we do these things, don't we? I was chatting to her the other day and said, if you could wave a magic wand and do any job, what would it be? And her eyes completely lit up and she smiled and she said, I'd love to work with animals. In fact, she said, I've just applied for a receptionist role at my local veterinarians. And then the smile faded. But they told me they've had hundreds of applications. I've got no chance. Well, now it was my turn to get excited. And I said, no, wait, standing out is a marketing challenge and that's my superpower. So 5 minutes later, I devised a brilliant plan for her. Number one, she was going to bake a really big, delicious cake because she is a great baker. Then number two, she was going to print her CV, her resume, on high quality paper. Number three, she was going to handwrite a covering letter to accompany it, saying something like, I know that hundreds of people have applied for this role, and I wanted to make sure you saw my application. You'll be jumping for joy if you give me this role, because... And then list three benefits that the owner of this veterinarian practice will enjoy by hiring her. Maybe add a humorous fourth one about an endless stream of fresh cakes. Number four, put all of that in a brightly coloured box to keep it together. And then number five, hand deliver the box to the veterinary clinic, like now. No delay in that, it's got to be done urgently. So if she'd done all of this, just doing that wouldn't have got Debbie the job, but it would have got her an interview. You can almost guarantee that, can't you? Because as an employer, wouldn't you be intrigued by a candidate who went to this much effort? I know I would. Well, I saw Debbie a week or so after we had this conversation, and of course I said to her, how did your interview go? And she admitted to me a bit sheepishly, oh, I didn't do the cake thing. I didn't want to stand out for the wrong reasons, which to me is just flipping crazy. Although I do understand how much fear she must have felt at the thought of pushing that much outside of her comfort zone. But here's the thing. For many job roles, and especially those that don't require specialist skills, employers are spoiled for choice. To get their attention, you have to do things that other people won't. And marketing your MSP is exactly the same. The ordinary business owners and managers that you want to reach have hundreds, if not thousands, of other MSPs that they can pick from. In theory, they could hire an MSP anywhere in the world, right? So you must stand out to them. And one of the tactics I recommend to do this is something called an impact box, which is similar to what I recommended that Debbie did, but systemizable. So here's what could go inside your impact box. You should do a handwritten short intro note. Handwritten because that stands out because it shows that you've taken the time and put in the effort. And if your handwriting is terrible, you get someone else in the office to do that. You'd also put in your proposal. Or if you're only at the meeting stage, you'd put a confirmation of the meeting or the confirmation of the follow-up meeting. Depends where you are in the sales process when you send this impact box. You'd put in there your buyer's guide. And if you don't have one, we give one to our MSP Marketing Edge members. In fact, we've just refreshed it for 2026. You'd put in there a selection of printed case studies. I know that's a third piece of printed material, but all of these play a different part in influencing people. In fact, one idea is to put a video case study in there on a USB, because obviously your prospects would never plug a USB from a stranger into their laptop, would they? You'd also throw in there some edible stuff, so chocolates, biscuits, sweets, candy, something like that, and then some merchandise, a mouse mat, pen, a mug, whatever really. Just make sure the box looks really nice inside. Use sheets of, you know, like that crumpled tissue paper that you do that. And on the outside, you could have some stickers printed with your logo or something like that. You deliver that box to the right prospect at the right point in their sales cycle, and it will completely blow them away. Doesn't guarantee that you get the sale, but it guarantees you a place at the table. Now, what else do you think you could do to make your MSP stand out to prospects?
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
Earlier on in the show, when I was talking about AI tools, I said a specific phrase. I said, relevance increases results. And by chance, we've had a question from an MSP about that exact sentence. What does it mean and how does it affect your marketing? This is actually a common question that I get, so I'm going to answer it for you in the next few minutes. The best piece of advice in business is this. If you want to achieve something big, like growing your MSP, the easiest way to do that is to ask someone who's already done it. What would you ask them? Would you ask them what they did, what worked the best, and what was a waste of time? Well, you're in luck, because my special guest right now has been growing MSPs their entire life. So just for you, here comes some ideas waiting for you to use.
Hi, I'm Nicola Moss. I'm the owner of The Fractional Marketeer, and I've been running this business for the last few months, having had a 20-year sort of exciting career marketing within some of the smallest and largest of MSPs.
That's brilliant. And thank you so much for joining us on this podcast, Nicola. Obviously, you've got this exciting new business going forward where I know you're already working with some MSPs and you have some gaps, some vacancies to work with others. Let's see if we can fill those gaps for you. So we'll talk about that and what you do later on towards the end of the interview. First of all, I want to look back at the last 20 years because someone who has been there in the trenches, actually physically doing marketing for MSPs for 20 years has an immense amount of value. We all know that if you've been there and you've done it, the chances of you figuring out what to do and how to do it, it just gets easier and easier and easier. So give us a brief sort of rundown of your career. How did you get into marketing MSPs in the first place? And what kind of MSPs have you worked at?
So that's a really good question. So when I left university, I managed to get my first marketing role in oil and gas, actually, and thought that might be a sector that was quite fun and exciting, decided that it wasn't. And I relocated, and with that relocation came a new job. And that job happened to be born out of an engineering company, but turned itself into telecoms. And I joined there when it was very small, 30 odd people, very tiny company, and I was given the best opportunity of my career, and I took it and I ran with it and did everything that I possibly could, and stayed there for 10 years. I loved it, and then decided that the time was right to kind of widen my experiences a little bit and join other MSPs, and I've been in MSPs sort of ever since, really, pretty much.
I think once you're in the channel, it's really hard to get out of the channel, isn't it? It's fun.
It's fun. You in, don't they?
Exactly. And there's so much change. You know, you can't ever get bored, let's be honest. It's not like being, I don't know, like a dentist or something where you're waiting 20 years for a new drill to come in or something like that. I couldn't imagine anything worse. So you started marketing MSPs, around about 2005. And obviously the world was different in 2005. Never mind the technology, never mind marketing. What are the sort of the big shifts that you've seen that have made that either been the biggest challenges or have made the biggest difference to MSPs over those last couple of decades?
So it's an interesting question that actually, and I've been reflecting on that over the last couple of days, and I think there's positives and negatives of this. I think some of the biggest shifts that I've seen are 20 years ago, we were in analog marketing. So we had telemarketing, events, and direct mail, and pretty much that was all that we had, especially in small MSPs where budgets were limited. And I was in a small MSP. So 20 years ago, you had to be really creative with marketing and you had to know where to spend the money to get the best bang for your buck. And I think I spent kind of quite a long time perfecting that. I think they call it guerrilla marketing now, but I did run some really, really high profile branding initiatives for Opel Telecom while I was there. It's now TalkTalk Business, and they were fun and exciting. And I guess in that day as well, what equally didn't happen, I guess, which is different to today, is that we weren't measured on things. You know, there weren't so many KPIs. There weren't, you know, we didn't really look at return on investment in the way that it's looked at now. And, you know, the measure was, are we growing as a business? And the measure was we actually doubled our turnover year on year, phenomenally quick. And it was, you know, it was hard to keep up. So I guess those are the two sort of different challenges. I think now we're in a much more digital world. We have been probably for the last 10 years or so, maybe slightly more, digital and social. And my sort of thought process, I guess, for the future, I know you haven't asked this question, is what are we going to do next? And are we about to change? And are we about to flip? And I actually think that the answer is yes to that. I think people have digital fatigue. And I think there's going to be changes in marketing ahead. But I don't think we know quite what they will be yet.
Well, let's go with that question, because you're right. That was going to be my next question, which is, you know, if you've been doing something for 20 years and you've seen the evolution of that, what's next? So we are fully digital. And, you know, I recommend to my MSP Marketing Edge members that they occasionally do some analog stuff, because analog stuff stands out. Like, we give them a printed newsletter every month. And I say, print 50, 100 copies, send that out to your hottest prospects, to your dream 100. I'm sure, Nicola, you understand the concept, but the concept of your hottest, smallest, small bunch of prospects. And the reason we do that is because 20 years ago, loads of printed newsletters landed in doors, and today no one does that. So it gives you huge standout ability. So let's look at that then, the next couple of years. You think there's going to be a flip. Is that going to be based around AI or something else?
I think AI is going to play a role. It's certainly going to play a role within SEO marketing anyway. And I don't know yet how that landscape is going to change. But, you know, when people are searching on Google now, you know, it presents the whole AI spiel before you even get to the number one. So fighting for that number one sort of has become even harder. And we don't really know how that landscape is going to evolve, I think. And you're right, in terms of that. So we talked a bit about digital fatigue. And I think people are open to face-to-face communications. They're open to that more personal touch. They're open to that different side of marketing that was perhaps from back in the day. And perhaps we just need to evolve from back in the day and bring it into today's kind of marketing. But I definitely think that there's going to be a change.
Yeah. Well, you're preempting all of my questions, because having spent some time in the past with you, don't apologize. It's good. Spend some time in the future. Oh, and by the way, I should clarify, we don't pre-plan these interviews. So I never provide lists of questions or anything. These interviews are always just go with the flow. It's clear Nicola and I are thinking the same way, which is really cool. So we've looked at the past, we've looked at the future. Let's talk about what's working now. So you have, as you say, a few months ago, you came out of actually doing marketing for an MSP, and now you're working with a number of them. So obviously, we have no idea, really, do we, what's going to happen? And you and I, as marketers, are following trends, are reading and consuming and researching just as much as anyone else, because I think we're all just sort of finding our way into the future. But in terms of right now, so as this interview goes out, late summer 2025, what's working for MSPs now to generate leads and turn those leads into initial sales meetings?
That's a really tough question. And I think with the MSPs that I've been speaking to, I actually think that there's an area where, I mean, we could probably say that actually it's quite tough right now for MSPs, and certainly sort of marketing is equally quite tough. And I think there's challenges with who they're marketing to. Budgets are tightened. I think IT projects are being undertaken, but they're being selective about which projects they want to undertake and when. So I think that there's certainly a lot of challenges for an MSP. And of course, if you're selling sort of managed services, there's only really ever 3% in market, so to speak, that's able to buy. Most MSPs actually do say that they retain kind of like 95-97% of their customer base. So the market is sort of very small anyway, and they're equally being quite cautious about who they're engaging with and how. What's working with MSPs right now? I think there's still using sort of the more interruptive forms of marketing that there are, sort of, you know, the telemarketing, the email side of marketing. I think the way that MSPs are and the way that marketing is measured, I think people want to try and see the return, and that's where people can see the return, and it's measurable. And, you know, you can send out 100 emails and you get one response, and you can figure out whether that's, you know, a channel that's worth investing in or not. I think what the smaller MSPs particular, and I totally get it, what they're perhaps not embracing so much is the brand side of things. So it's all very much tactically lead driven activities, but that's all what happens, sort of, you know, you've got your 3% that's in market and you're doing a marketing campaign that lasts 3 months. What happens for the rest of the 9 month period? And that's where I think the strategic marketing really should come into play. You know, you really probably need to be looking at, you know, the peer review sites, for example. You know, a lot of the buyers, 70% of buyers, Gartner say, actually do their buying before they even arrive on a company's website. So unless you're sort of present in those areas, it's going to be very difficult for you. You know, you're sort of battling uphill all of the time. And whilst the uphill battle, I think, you know, the MSPs are doing okay at, you're going to become fatigued really quickly before you get to the top of that. And I think what we need to do is try and get MSPs to kind of turn themselves around a bit and look more into that bigger picture, the branding side of things, and things which are actually really quite difficult to measure, but that are so important in terms of turning a business from that sort of outbound interruptive marketing into that sort of inbound, you know, hey, I've just had 10 leads land in my inbox and I don't know where they've come from sort of MSP, but actually it's around all of the periphery marketing activities that happen.
I agree. So there's a couple of really positive things that come out of that. The first is, as you said, like 97% of clients stay with their MSP. So when you, it's tough to win a client, but when you win them, you keep them forever. You know, they don't go anywhere until they go bust or they're acquired or, you know, there's some catastrophe which separates that relationship. So hard to win, but easy to keep is the first positive. I think the other positive is, Nicola, is that everyone is in the same boat. And, you know, if you've got 20, 30, 40 competitors, direct competitors in your market, let alone the thousands of others you're in competition with, because any MSP can service any client anywhere, more or less, until they've got to get physically boots on the ground. Everyone's got the same problems and everyone's battling through it. And I'm sure you see this, that the MSPs who win are the ones that keep going and keep investing in marketing. And even if it's small amounts of money and small amounts of time, it's always better to do little bits of marketing regularly. And I mean, like every weekday, to be doing something every weekday than to do a campaign here and stop and do nothing for 6 months and do something and stop and do something for a few months. Yeah. And it's just keeping going is such an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, like we say, there's so many different channels now that are available to marketeers. And again, the challenge for marketing is kind of to, you know, we kind of really need to be present in all of these channels, but we're sometimes very dictated by budgets. And it's about trying to figure out which of those channels are going to provide the better ROI for that MSP. And sometimes that's a learning curve. And there isn't kind of a marketing blueprint for that. You know, every organization is different yet facing very similar challenges, and I think it's the role of marketing is to kind of going and kind of figure out and navigate how we can create that niche for that MSP and start to get, you know, tell the narrative and tell the story and build the brand on an ongoing basis so that it's not just that, you know, odd ad hoc campaign here and ad hoc campaign there, but it actually starts to build a narrative around that MSP and why that MSP is unique and why that MSP is credible and why somebody should actually choose that MSP as their provider.
Yeah, exactly that. And you get that momentum from doing that and keeping that going. Nicola, yeah. let's stop there. Thank you so much for your time. So you've come out of working for an MSP. You are now a fractional marketer, which let's put that in slightly different terms. Most MSPs listening to this or watching this on YouTube will have heard of the VCIO, Virtual Chief Information Officer. I would look at Nicola as a VCMO, a Virtual Chief Marketing Officer. Tell us briefly, what do you actually do to help MSPs? So are you helping with strategy? Are you helping with implementation? And then finally, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. It's a bit of both, actually. So it depends on the MSP and what they've sort of got existing at the moment. Some MSPs that I'm working with, they already have a marketing function of sorts, but that marketing function can be sort of part of the commercial team or part of the sales team. And perhaps it's sort of reached the limit of what the sales or commercial person knows about marketing, and they're wanting somebody to come in and help drive that strategy. Or it could be an MSP that kind of needs support and help and guidance in understanding actually what is their niche, what is their USP, what is their ICP, and how do we go about creating the messaging framework in order to be able to sell into them. And I can help along with those things as well. And very tactically, just some MSPs don't have any marketing at all. So equally, very happy to roll my sleeves up and get stuck into. The best way to get in touch with me is via my website. It's thefractionalmarketeer.co.uk, or you can check me out on LinkedIn. You can search for Nicola Moss, and hopefully that will bring you to me, and love to connect and see how I can help.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast. Paul's personal peer group.
Okay, we're near the end of the show, and it's time to answer one of your questions. Producer James, what have you got for us today?
Well, Paul, today we've got a question from a hungry MSP. Lucas is MSP is based in Denver, and he is hungry for results and doing lots of research into things that's going to grow the results for his business. His question is, relating to the podcast, what do you mean by relevance increases results?
Relevance increases results means that any piece of marketing needs to be as relevant as it can be to the person who's reading it or watching it. Because the more relevant they perceive it is to them, the more likely they are to take action on it. So for example, if you had a piece of content about, let's say, laptop encryption, you'd say to your leads and your prospects, you'd say, this is what a good IT partner does without having to be asked. When you're looking for a new partner, book a 15-minute Zoom with me. With clients, you'd say, hey, laptop encryption, we do this automatically to protect you and your data. It's why you need to tell us if ever you get a device elsewhere and start using it in the business. If you do, just call the help desk so we can check the encryption and other cybersecurity safety factors for you. And then this is what you'd say to stubborn break fixers who will not switch to managed services. You'd say to them, do you want us to check all of your laptops and make them safe for you? Because there's this thing called encryption, which you may not have switched on your laptop. Why don't we just check that? It's an easy thing to do and not expensive. And of course, any kind of interaction like that with a stubborn break fixer is a start of a conversation to talk about why you really, or they really, should move over to being a managed services client of yours. It's a great question this week. And to submit your own question, email me. Go to mspmarketingedge.com and head to the About Us page.
Coming up next week.
You've heard of the concept of a lead magnet, right? It's where you offer someone something in return for their email address so that they join your mailing list, your email list. And in return, you send them something of value. Now, typically, that's a PDF. The problem is, a PDF is a very 2008 way of doing a lead magnet. As we start to think about what great marketing looks like in 2026, frankly, a PDF lead magnet just isn't going to cut it anymore. Good news though, there is a much better lead magnet that works incredibly well right now, and it's actually kind of easier to put in place than just using a PDF. In next week's show, I'll tell you exactly what this new super lead magnet is and an easy way that you can implement it.
For MSPs around the world, the MSP Marketing Podcast with Paul Green.